What's up, everybody, and welcome to Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for all things in the world of cinema. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan McCorder, joined by my beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
What's up? You ready for some action?
I've contracted AIDS.
You've contracted AIDS.
I'm riddled with it.
I don't know. We didn't really talk about this before pod. I don't have the backstory for this.
Maybe I mentioned it in Tuesday's pod. Yeah. That you hadn't seen the video.
Yeah,
you haven't seen the Liam Neeson "Life's Too Short" skit
context
with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Fry. Maybe is his name.
Yeah,
you gotta watch it. It's hilarious. One of my favorite Liam Neeson little skits. It's really funny.
Yep.
It's a great time. Apparently, there's a bunch of other. It's a whole season. It's a mini British mockumentary.
Yeah.
Episode one's Liam Neeson. Episode two's Johnny Depp, Steve Carell, Sting, Val Kilmer. Got a bunch of people in it. We're just see how the Val Kilmer one went. But anyway, yeah. So it's Thursday now. Well, you know what I mean. It's Thursday.
We know
episode.
What you mean. Yeah.
You know what that means.
It's action time.
It's trash action time. And I did not realize what a trash action star.
We overloaded on some trash action.
I am. This was a great week of trash action. And what's the Anderson guy who's such a good, who directed Licorice Pizza?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
This is his Wish version. This
Paul
is Paul S.W.
Whack,
Anderson.
Whack Anderson.
When I went and looked at the director, I was like, I paused for a minute. I was like, wait a second.
Yep.
And then I looked at, okay, not, oh yeah.
Duh. No relation.
No relation. I was like, for a minute there, I was like, whoa, what happened here? But you know, it's funny. He has actually had a couple good films. Like Event Horizon. That's a good film.
Yeah. He stayed busy with some Resident Evil trash, but yeah.
Pompeii.
Yeah, Pompeii.
Yeah.
Is that the re?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All trash action.
Yes. So. A very specific style for sure.
So if you didn't know by that, because we didn't say what movie we were talking about, just the director, we're going to kick the trash action goodies off this week with the Jason Statham film.
Yeah.
Called Death Race. I spent my money and saw this in theaters in 2008.
That's the least surprising thing you've told me.
And it was great.
Like,
yeah. I enjoyed it then.
That's even more or less surprising.
I own it too.
Yeah. That was the only way I saw it. It's because on your voodoo.
Yeah. I really enjoy this movie. I had only seen it. It's only the second time I've seen it. I've seen it in theaters. I've seen it here.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it since 2008. And it held up for me. I had a great time with Death Race. I'm going to read the synopsis and then we'll discuss.
Okay.
Letterboxed. Death Race. Get ready for a killer race. Terminal Island, New York, 2020. Overcrowding in the U.S. penal system has reached a breaking point. Prisons have been turned over to monolithic Weiland Corporation, which sees jails full of thugs as an opportunity for televised sport. Adrenalized inmates, a global audience still hungry for violence and
you're gonna get there.
Spectacular enclosed arena come together to form the Death Race, the biggest, most brutal event.
You got to that finish line. Just barely.
Yeah. I never recovered after the penal system. So
is that off the dome or is that?
Yeah, it was an accident. That was a Freudian slip. So this is, as he said, Jason Statham-led film, also starring Joan Allen, Ian McShane, Tyrese Gibson. Those are your stars, but you get a young Jason Clarke here as well, who's coming off Oppenheimer in today's world. So let's discuss Death Race. Plot itself, Jason Statham gets laid off from work, comes home one night, kissing his wife, his kid, a little baby. When he comes up from freshening up, his wife is murdered and he is arrested. He sees the man who did it in a mask and he gives him the air finger gun. You know, Jason, something with Jason Statham movies and finger guns.
Yeah.
It happened again. He gets arrested, taken to prison, finds out real quick that he's been selected to pick up the role of Frankenstein, who's one of the celebrities from this racing show, prison inmates. And if you win four in a row, you get your freedom.
Yeah.
Which is also very similar to Gamer. I just realized that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't pair these like that.
No, but you have a natural ability for this.
Yeah, I've seen some of these trash action films. Anyway, so if you get through them, you win. Even though this is a different Frankenstein. The real Frankenstein died after one of the races, so yeah. But nobody knows that because he wears a mask. So the warden wants Statham, who used to be an acclaimed racer, to take over this role and basically stay in prison forever and live a lavish life there and do it. Because he allegedly murdered his wife, the daughter's in custody of somebody new, and he won't see his kid again. So he goes. He decides he's going to race. Ian McShane is his coach, who Ian McShane is my favorite part of this film. Loved Ian McShane as coach. He was awesome. And helps him build this car. Tyrese Gibson is his mortal enemy, but Tyrese Gibson thinks he's racing the original Frankenstein. Doesn't know it's Jason Statham's character. So as the races commence, you get another prisoner from a female world, if you want, with you. So they get the female prisoner who used to race with Frankenstein. She sabotages him at first and grows to like him and help him. And he loses the first couple races, but ends up surviving and gets it to the final race. Him and Tyrese Gibson team up. And because right before that, he tells Tyrese Gibson who he is, and they agree to take down the warden together. And then with the help of Coach and some other people inside, they end up escaping and killing them all, and they get reunited outside. So,
yeah,
there's Death Race in a very quick nutshell. So, let's talk about it. I gave this film, it has a 2.7 on Letterboxd total. And out of all these reviews, there's 1,100 people who said this is a 5-star movie.
Yeah. Bunch of sickos.
There's only 790 people who said it's a 0.5-star film. So,
yeah.
Skews to perfection rather than the worst. So let's talk about it. What did you like about this film?
I liked the driving. I love a good car chase.
This felt more Fast and Furious than Fast and Furious feels.
I totally agree. Having Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah, that helps.
It helps. Kind of helps sell that.
Well, and Statham too at this point.
Yeah, well, Statham, yeah. Was it 2015 Hobbs and Shaw? Or probably a little bit before.
Yeah, 14, 15.
You know, early casting for that. But anyways, this, 2008, like Fast and Furious, like it was.
Well, Statham was in it before Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, he wasn't.
He was in about 2010. The point
is, it was well after.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the race aspect. It's a little too Mario Kart-y for me.
With the power-ups.
Yeah. It's pretty gimmicky, but this is a world where I believe the gimmicks. There are some other ones where it feels a little, some other movies that we're going to talk about later that feels a little bit more forced. But this very much, it didn't feel believable by any means, but I could get along with what's happening.
Okay. Have you ever seen the movie The Condemned?
No.
Now that's a prison one you need to watch.
Yeah.
It's about a bunch of inmates who get put on an island and they have to survive they're being hunted. All the inmates are hunting each other and they're prisoners, and if they win, they get their freedom. Stone Cold Steve Austin film.
Oh. Okay.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd give it a 0.5-star.
I probably would.
But anyway. So what worked for me was, well, A, the plot is just great, fun times, just stupid, goofy. But I actually like Statham in this film.
I agree.
Statham thrives in this role, and Ian McShane also is really good as coach. What did you think of Coach in this film? Chooses to stay in prison because he doesn't want to adapt to the world outside. But
yes, I like that little bit of character development that we get from him. Or just backstory development is probably not the right word, but a little bit of behind the curtains for why he's there. The ending is a little bit, don't fully understand, but it's a glitch, not a actual problem.
What, for him?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because why is he, spoiler, but like, why is he killer?
Because of what he did. Or what she did. And he's loyal to Statham, not the warden.
Okay. But if he loves the game, the race or whatever, she's the one that makes it happen.
I'm not so sure it's still the race. I just think he just wants to stay in prison.
Okay. That's probably true.
He was a great supporting character,
kind of narrator, kind of like gave us a lay of the land type of thing. You know, that smooth, sultry voice. It's just like, it was perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think about you're talking about the ending. What do you think about the ending?
Honestly, it was pretty melodramatic. I think, I don't know, after you take away, first of all, was it the dreadnought?
The Sima?
Yeah, that felt way too early.
Yeah.
That felt like something that needed to be brought out sooner, or later, I mean.
And then it went down way too quick.
Yes. So, I don't know, the whole escape thing, it snuck up on me, but it wasn't in like a, oh man, they're breaking loose. I was like, wait, they're breaking loose now, or they're breaking out. In hindsight, I guess like you could see the plan kind of being laid out to how they do it. This is just not the type of movie where I want to be mentally tracking all those types of things.
Yeah.
I just want to buckle up and ride.
no pun intended, yeah. I'm sure. So what didn't work for you then? You're kind of hitting at it. So
yeah, it tried to set up a bigger plot. I feel like that was absolutely necessary. I know, but you know, this whole premise of this movie could have been wrapped up way quicker. So let me get this straight. He was basically framed for murder and brought into prison because
Frankenstein is dead.
Yes, but because he was handpicked to be Frankenstein's replacement, though.
Yeah.
Is it because his name, or he has some, was he a racer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a famous racer.
Yes. And he was named after this, whatever.
Yeah.
Famous
car.
Yeah. So famous racer. They did a really bad job of explaining that.
Yeah. I understood that he was named after a car.
Yes.
But they only mentioned that he was a racer twice.
Yeah. So that was a kind of a hang up for me, but, I don't know. I think you could have set up the whole mission of like, I need to get out to get to my daughter better than what they had done. It was just kind of like poor writing personally.
Okay. What was your favorite part of the whole film?
Favorite part of the whole film?
Now I'm going to answer these questions in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I think stage two, that whole sequence, because you get the dreadnought, which is probably one of my more, concept wise, like one of my favorite parts of the movie. Yeah, it kind of gave me Mad Max vibes. So, anyways, that's probably one of them.
All right, so I'll work in a backward order.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite scene of the movie,
yeah,
is the prison scene, where they get into the fight with the skullheads. That's where Statham thrives the best, and having that brief little lunch fight. Got me at the edge of my seat, and I forgot how short it was, and it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Love that, and I love the little bar, or the fight in the garage, too, with also racist skullhead.
Yes, and List.
List?
Yeah, isn't that his name?
Who?
You got Gunner, List.
Gunner? Who's Gunner? Pachinko?
No. His,
Machine Gun Joe?
No. You're talking about Pachinko.
Yeah.
The fight that he gets, that the dude with the stutter comes up and stabs him in the back.
Yeah.
That fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun fight. I like that. And then him executing out in the public. All the Pachinko stuff, I liked. Oh, wish they ran.
Yeah. They
leaned into it more.
Exactly. Part of like the whole issue with the story is that they sprinkle in the fact that Pachinko was the one that killed his wife. Because they, you know, do off-site work. You find out Hennessy was the one that you know, sets it up.
But she was so gross looking in this movie.
Yes. It was just a weird way of telling the story. So.
Yep, agreed. But yeah, the actual hand-to-hand action scenes where Statham thrives at, those were my favorite scenes. We didn't have enough of them.
Well,
didn't
This is a car racing show.
What didn't work for me was Tyrese Gibson. I actually did not like his character. I also don't really like Tyrese Gibson that much as an actor. Not really much has changed that for me here. Yeah. Not that he's a bad actor. I just don't enjoy the movies he's in and in his role. Just felt like a very flimsy, shallow, one-dimensional character, which of course that he is and has to be.
Yeah.
He could have, I feel like, at least jammed it up a little bit more than what he did. I just didn't love his film, and also didn't like the acting of the girl and the
it was terrible. But that is it. That's a given, though, with this type of movie, though.
Yeah, it was bad. the only really good performances you get are Ian McShane and Jason Statham in this movie.
I agree.
Yeah, so the performance is bad. I actually thought the cinematography, the CGI and action is actually okay.
Yeah,
for being 2008 movie.
Personally, I didn't like the filter of this film.
Yeah,
it's very super contrasty, and I could have done with a little bit more color.
Yeah, although it did hide some of the mistakes.
Yes, that's why you do it.
Yep. So and that's fine, because like I said, most 2008 action B movies you get don't look this good and hold up this well. So as a whole, it did pretty well for me. So yeah, I really enjoyed Death Race again. It's a fun little one off B movie, a decent one for Statham. Now let's talk about the counterpart. Let's talk about Gamer.
Yeah.
This is Gerard Butler. This one's directed by Brian Taylor and
Mark. Wait. So what did you rate?
Three and a half stars.
Okay.
For
it was 2.5 for me.
Death Race. And that does not mean that it's better than, you know, The End We Begin From or whatever. It's just,
you enjoy it.
I enjoy that movie a lot, but objectively it's not a good film.
Yeah, it's 2.5 for me. It's a good ride, but I'd never have to watch it again. I won't remember hardly anything of it. It's just, I don't know.
They use the word baby raper in this film.
They do.
Baby raper.
They do.
I was like, wow, you said baby raper?
Yeah.
That was crazy. Let's talk Gamer. Gerard Butler. I'm going to read the synopsis. This one also came out a year after Death Race. In the near future, in 2012.
Yeah.
Was Death Race 2012? One of them was 2012.
Death Race was 2012.
Was this like 2035 or something?
It's closer now than it was then.
Yeah.
So
in the near future, you don't live to play. You'll play to live. Mind control technology has taken society by storm. A multiplayer online game called Slayers allows players to take control of human prisoners in mass scale. Simon controls Cable, the online champion of the game. Cable's ultimate challenge becomes regaining his identity and independence by defeating the game's mastermind. So you get a fun little Michael C. Hall, my Dexter Morgan love. You got some fun Terry Crews in here. Logan Lerman's in here. Obviously, Gerard Butler. Ludacris has a pretty big spot in it. Milo Ventimiglia. I was just talking about how much I like him from Land of Bad. His character in this film is named Rick Rape. So, fun times.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'll kick us off with this one. What worked for me? I loved the whole concept of the film. In 2009, there weren't a lot of films like this. There are a dime a dozen now.
Yeah.
But in 2009, there weren't. Being able to thought about being prison inmates and being able to control them from there with that neural implant, I thought was so clever. Still continue to think it's clever because it's not been done quite like that since. I thought the action sequences are serviceable enough for it. Gerard Butler, I thought, carried this movie, obviously. He did a really good job with the, because one thing I can recognize, I used to have this at 4 stars, is that the quality of the script and the dialogue and some of that stuff is real bad.
Visual effects in this are,
oh yeah, they're real bad.
They're terrible.
Yeah,
it probably brings it down 2 stars for me.
But Butler,
yeah,
does
Butler,
a good job Butler keeping does, the ship afloat.
Yes.
That doesn't mean there's not holes in the boat.
Yeah.
He just does his best to keep it afloat.
It's one of those performances where you kind of know he has no idea what the finished product is going to be for this. He is just coming here to act, and it's not his fault it turns out the way it does, because he's serving. Like he's got it.
Yeah, and that's where we talk about every time after we review him. After talk about all four, like, could Statham jump into Butler's role? Could Butler jump into Statham's role?
Yeah, no need to get ahead on that.
Yeah,
on this one. Yeah, because this, they're we could have a good conversation about these on that topic. Yeah.
So anyway, Gerard Butler worked for me. The plot worked for me. I really like Terry Crews's brief character. Could have done more of Terry Crews here.
Yeah, I agree.
And I liked Michael C. Hall. I liked their little, my favorite scenes is the basketball court scene. Could have been longer, could have been done a little bit more impactful, because the whole people quitting at the end right afterwards, like they never cared.
Yeah.
That was that's one of my biggest takeaways in a negative way about it. But I liked the scene leading up to it.
Yeah.
The whole dance off, basically. That was fun. I enjoyed that. And I liked the whole community, like their Sims version.
The society
world. Yeah. That was fun. Very visual. Like
very vulgar.
Yeah, it's just like a total tonal eye shift from the Slayer's world.
Yeah, it's the manifestation of everybody's like
wet dreams.
Evil. Yeah, I mean it's like Westworld, you know. Like you go there to purge the sin, the poison.
Yeah.
I agree. Like those, there are some great features to this movie. Mm-hmm. There are pieces in this that are great. The execution though is so incredibly bad.
What parts of the execution though?
Visual effects are terrible.
Yeah, visual effects are bad. I'm not never. And
I don't even think it's a dated thing.
Yeah, they're just the bad.
I mean, it is dated, but it felt like an overuse in a lot of ways, an over imagination type of thing. Like it was too much. You got to know how to edit this stuff down. And you know, some of it, like I'm not a prude, but some of it just felt unnecessary.
Like sexual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of it.
So the budget was $50 million. That's kind of low.
Wow. Yeah.
So that explains that may explain kind of the.
Yeah. I could. That makes a lot more sense.
That's a definite. Even back in 2009, that's a B tier budget.
Yeah, I just think there are aspects to this story that could have helped me buy into it more. Michael C. Hall's character, like, give me more of him being. You know,
like a sadistic freak.
Yeah, that we know, like all these, you know, people are like now. But that, and then some more backstory with the actual players.
Logan
because
Lerman.
Yeah, because Gerard Butler is basically this avatar that's controlled by
a 17-year-old kid. Yeah,
a 17-year-old kid. We get a little bit from him, but kind of like, what's his motive? Why is he doing this type of thing? Because there are different moments where, you know, obviously these avatars are having to like do things they don't want to do. But we see, what's his name in the movie? Simon, kind of, he does the things that, Cable would have done, like save old lady walking across the street.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, but he does. And you know, it's just some of that.
Never matters anyway.
Yeah. Some of that though. You know, it would have been good for character development. I think a lot of my issues that I might have towards the end would have been resolved better if there was more setup in the beginning, if that makes any sense.
It does. So what was your favorite scene of the movie? Favorite sequence, whatever.
Probably the whole final, not the end, because the ending is pretty frustrating.
I think we're about to say the whole same thing. The moment he gets into the thing and sees all of them standing there like mannequins and they do the dance.
No, I was going to say the moment he has control, the moment Simon gives up control for him and he breaks out, like the movie picks up for me.
Yeah.
After that. But yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. My favorite scene is when he gets to go see Dexter C. Hall at his house or wherever he's at. And
no, I was
that whole puppet dance.
I was unfortunately checked out by then.
I know. I love that part. That was great. The music, the dance, the choreography, the fun.
It would have made so much more sense if we understood who he was sooner.
He's Mark Zuckerberg, man.
I don't think Mark Zuckerberg's got people dancing like that though.
I bet he does.
No, no.
Elon Musk.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Just hides it better.
Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk, man of the people. But yeah, no, Gamer overall, 3.5 stars for me.
1.5 for me. Terrible. This is probably my lowest rated so far.
And we'll circle back and discuss this as we get into our final question.
I reviewed this and my main takeaway was Brian Taylor and Mark Nevelandine. Mm-hmm. They should have stopped at Crank. This is the same director of Crank, which we reviewed a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You see the neurotic, like the just the the tone and pace of the movie, very much like Crank. They just tried to do too much. They could have slimmed this down or whatever.
Could they have, though? I think a big issue was the budget securing, looking at it. But I don't know. As a whole, 3.5 versus 1.5, that's a pretty big
last thing I said, like, you got a budget like that size, that's your biggest cue to, like, hey, let's take a step back on some of the stuff.
What stuff? Rick Rape?
Maybe, yeah. But anyways, we can move on. Whoa.
Did you hear that?
I did.
I think the mic heard that.
Felt it.
That'd be great. Are we doing transporter or plane first?
What do you want to do?
I have transporter pulled up.
Yeah.
So I keep saying transporter.
Transporter.
I got transporter pulled up. Ever since I've been, like, when I was talking about my dad being like, yeah, that Doom yeah. movie. I haven't got the redneck out of me yet. So the transporter, Jason Statham's probably biggest claim to fame, kickstart his, like, franchise type career. All right, I'll read the synopsis, and I was about to just start my thoughts, but Letterboxd synopsis has it sitting at a 3.1. Rules are made to be broken. A former special forces officer, Frank Martin, didn't realize that's the name, the South Carolina coach, makes
me think,
will deliver anything to anyone for the right price, and his no questions asked policy puts him in high demand. But when he realizes his latest cargo is alive, it sets in motion a dangerous chain of events. The bound and gagged lie is being smuggled to France by a shady American businessman, and Frank works to save her as his own illegal activities are uncovered by a French detective. All right. So I have this sitting at 3 stars for me. It was a 2.5 for a few days. This movie is an adrenaline ride from beginning to end, but not like Crank, different kind of a more balanced adrenaline ride. My favorite, actually, subplot of this film is the cat and mouse between Frank and Inspector Charcone. That whole thing. But
yeah.
Yeah. So the transporter for me overall didn't work. 3 stars for me. Something about this film I just didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
Even like I like Death Race more than this. Like Transporter just felt like it wanted to be a franchise. Like it was wanting to do more.
Transporter?
Yes.
I agree.
And nothing about this film said, hey, this feels like you deserve a sequel. The girl who played Lay, whatever, terrible.
Yeah. Awful,
abysmal, bad. Actually, almost everybody in this film besides Statham and the inspector were bad.
Casting was not great.
No, it was terrible. Way worse than Gamer. The casting
But again, healthy expectations. Whenever I turn on a movie and I obviously see the acting at a level that it is, and so like my expectations are low as the movie goes on, like stuff like the direction they go, the things that they do, whatever, what I'm seeing, it raises that to either meet it or exceed it. And I feel like where this movie ended with me, that casting was not an issue. It's not good, but it does not. I don't know how to explain it. It's different than Gamer, where you have some decent actors and actresses that are otherwise not performing.
All right. Agree to disagree with you on there. But
we will. That's the whole point of this thing.
Perfect. So what worked for you in The Transporter?
So concept really worked for me.
Just a simple transporter.
Like
simple
man. Yeah, like he's man with rules. I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel like I need that in my own life. But it's, the action's great.
Is it great?
Yeah, I think so. I think the action is like, there are some, anything with the guns is not great. The hand to hand stuff is,
yeah, there's some real bad visual effects in this film too.
Yes, I agree. The race, like the actual, I love car chase. The opening sequence is some really, really interesting stuff.
Agreed.
So that honestly probably worked the best for me. That's probably my favorite scene.
What didn't work for you?
There are moments in this movie that it tried to be funny or tried to be cute. Most times it was with with Lay. Is super cringe.
You like, got me.
It's rough. like whenever he first finds her and he gets the drink and he like cuts the slit in the the music in the background, like everything is like much,
like every moment there's a non-action scene. Yeah, there's some cheesy music going
needle
on.
Needle drops are really bad in it.
Yeah, and they don't fit needle drops
they
either.
They don't. I totally agree. Yeah, yeah. That honestly is part of it. It's just there are certain tones in this movie that did not fit.
Yeah,
what was actually happening on screen?
What was your favorite scene?
It's the opening scene. Honestly, I started this movie really excited.
Yeah, you texted me about it.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what.
Light Bro is my favorite movie I've ever seen in my life.
Definitely wasn't that.
10 out of 10.
But the most ridiculous scene, though, and the only reason I'm saying because I'm looking at the Letterboxd header, that grease fight, absolutely ridiculous.
Erotic.
It's gets erotic, the people moving. Yes. He breaks off those pedal, whatever, the bike pedals, and he's just able to walk on all this grease.
Yeah.
It's just rough.
Yeah, dumb. So what worked for me in this film? The cat and mouse of the inspector and Frank loved their relationship, loved their kind of like, hey, I know you're bad, you know, I'm helping you, but also don't push your limits. You know, you kind of never knew. It was a wild card. That was one level and kind of like uncertainty in a film that feels all too familiar and certain.
Yeah.
So I loved that part. My favorite scene in the film is probably the part where Lay is at Statham's house and they get ambushed and they have to try to find their way out because I couldn't remember where they actually went.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, how are they going to get out of this and make it make sense? So really enjoyed that. What didn't work for me though was just general story beats. I thought the action sequences were subpar for Jason Statham. I thought the effects were poor. I thought Statham was the only person who could act at all in this film, really. Everybody else seemed to be just the worst actor on the planet.
Yeah.
So a lot stacked against it in this case. Just keep it at 3 stars for me.
This was 3 for me as well. Like I said, this is all about expectations. And this, in some ways, it was exactly what I expected. So that had to give a 3.
Yeah, I'm glad it was for you because I thought I liked this movie better.
I was glad to see kind of like a cornerstone for what Statham is now. For sure, because when you look back at, I was looking at some of his older stuff, and I mean it's a lot of British movies, you know, some Guy Ritchie's, but this is kind of like one of his first like front leading like
this
American.
As much as I didn't like it, it really sent him into a new stratosphere.
Yeah,
with this film,
and there were many more of these to come.
Yeah, 2 not very good ones. So
there's only 2 other ones, or just
there's 3. Yeah, that's what I thought. And then 1 spinoff transporter that he's not in or has anything to do with. All right, let's talk about Plane.
All right, we did it.
All right,
got me to rewatch this, even though I pretty much I thought I swore I wasn't going to watch this again.
All right, I'm going to read a review about it.
Please do.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Gerard Butler is really positioning himself to fill the void in the B-movie action space where Liam Neeson eventually retires. And thus far, Butler has presented us with a stuffed resume, Plane being the most recent addition. Plane is basically Con Air meets Flight of the Phoenix and delivers a surprisingly tense and entertaining ride from takeoff to landing. Plane is definitely one of Butler's better films of recent memory. Yes, it's still a cliched shoot 'em up, and yes, it's still a mindless popcorn film, but Plane is fun, and elements some of Butler's other films are missing. Gerard Butler films are always what you expect. Very rarely do I walk out surprised, but almost always walk out entertained. And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. That review sums up how I feel about this film.
That's your own review.
I know.
Yeah.
I reread it. I don't agree with everything I say there at the second half of it.
Yeah.
But those first 2 paragraphs, like that second one, they're always what you expect they're going to be.
Agreed.
I never really walk. Greenland's the only Butler movie I walked out surprised from. So I very rarely do a walkout surprise.
Yeah.
But I always walk out entertained. And that's really all I could ask for a movie.
I'll give you this. This movie on a second watch is still not entertaining.
Listen, I'm reading it here. The plane sequences are awesome. Like the storm, the landing, the tension there, the second landing, which you know they're going to land, but it's that good. Battle on the airstrip.
Yeah.
With the guy with the 50 cal blowing people through the doors.
No.
Whoa. The 50 cal.
I understand. It kind of cheapened it for me.
What did?
I don't know.
The rescue team?
No.
That's how 50 cals work.
Yes, I get that. You just don't expect it. I don't know how to talk about this movie. I have many thoughts.
Well,
let's do our thing. What are you asking?
Like recap it?
Yeah. What are you asking?
Well, I don't think I recapped.
No, you just said your review.
No, I don't think I recapped the transporter.
There's no need to.
I don't think I recapped Gamer.
No, it's okay. It's just going to be one of those pods. Sorry.
Yeah. I was just sitting here realizing we just talked about what did and didn't work without breaking into what the film was.
Yeah.
Well, plane. I'll give this one a brief breakdown.
Yeah, just brief.
Yeah.
Because there's not much to it.
He's a pilot. He's on B-tier flights because he assaulted a passenger.
Yeah.
You find out later.
Yeah.
He goes on this flight despite protests because they're going to hit weather. They hit the weather. He does a Captain Sully, pulls a plane out of a miracle, lands it in the Philippines. Bad part of the Philippines. Pirates come, kidnap the plane or kidnap all the passengers except for the pilot, Gerard Butler, and a prisoner that was on board whose parole officer transporter officer does. They go, they come back, realize everybody's been kidnapped, so they then leave a note saying, hey, we're going to go find these people, and they do. In the meantime, the American government's realized these people have gone missing, so they bring in a specialist, and they send in a task force to go find them. They find them just in the nick of time. Gerard Butler frees the other ones, but they're going to keep him and kill him instead, but they save him. They take him back to the airplane. They have this big, huge Mexican standoff or Filipina standoff, and then that sounded like Filipinas. Filipina standoff.
I was just surprised to hear you throw out that analogy.
What analogy?
Not an analogy, but whatever.
Like a Mexican standoff?
Yeah.
They have this big standoff, and the only way they can do it to survive is to fly away. So they fly 50 miles over to this little island runway. They make it just by the skin of their teeth, and everybody lives happily ever after. Right? And,
yeah.
Oh, and Mike Coulter's character, the prisoner, he vanishes with all the money and some guns.
Yeah.
Because he's a fugitive who killed somebody, allegedly. And he's making a ship called Boat.
Yeah.
Or Ship. He's making a film called Ship.
Oh, okay.
It's a direct sequel to Plane.
So it's basically going to be him getting off this island.
And onto a ship. Gerard Butler has nothing to do with the film. May have a brief cameo.
That's probably for the best. If I'm being honest... This should not be in our list of movies. This felt the most out of place because Gerard Butler is not the main character.
What?
Mike Coulter is the Mike Coulter's character is the trash action hero of this.
No.
Yes, I.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I feel strongly about this.
He is a supporting character and has nearly the same screen time, but this is a Gerard Butler led film. He's the hero of this movie.
Yes, but
he's the white
it's
savior.
It's like it's not in the same vein. I mean, it's like Greenland. I felt the same way about Greenland. It's like why are we reviewing this movie?
Plane is an action film starring Gerard Butler.
Listen.
It's a more action film. I mean, I'll give you Greenland, but we just don't have a lot of
Butlers to choose from. I'm giving this movie crap because it was not a good rewatch in the beginning. And on a second watch, some stuff was highlighted more to me that why I didn't like this, but there was some redeeming parts to it.
The sledgehammer
was great. Yeah, there is awesome. A great sledgehammer kill, but again, not Gerard Butler.
No, yeah, it was Luke Coulter.
There's the one scene in the warehouse whenever he's trying to radio for help. Gerard Butler actually has a kill, but other than that, he doesn't do anything.
He saves everybody.
Yeah, he flies a plane.
That's action, baby.
It is. But there's just, it's so much. It's.
I love how they stop just short of every tree.
Yeah.
All the time.
Always.
No cliff, just the tree. Like they wouldn't survive hitting the tree. But no, anyway. So what worked for you for playing then?
So.
Because we've discussed this previously in the pod.
The stakes worked for me.
Okay.
Like.
Felt
this,
very real.
This felt very believable.
The crisis team and everything, which I thought the crisis team was some of the best parts of the film.
Yeah, I would have loved more with them.
I want to spin off that follows what's his name?
I would have, it would have been awesome if Mike Coulter's character just like went with them. Like he said, he worked for them because, you know, the one of the things that I don't,
Scarsdale.
Yeah. One of the things I don't really get is what was Mike Coulter's qualifications?
He's French Foreign Legion.
Yeah. He doesn't speak French.
Yeah. I know. That's what Butler said. He, at least they brought it up.
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't speak French, but
it's just weird.
Yeah. Scarsdale played by Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
The guy specialist they brought in. I would love to hear more stories about him. I bet he has some fun stuff.
Oh, like a crisis guy. Yeah. Like, that was a character that needed to be fleshed out more.
Yeah. Cause he was good.
I agree.
And he dominated. I mean, even he was good in Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah. Forget.
Yep. He was the like gray court judge.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So, that's what worked for you. What didn't work for you second time. So stakes worked for you this time.
Yeah, the actual amount of action that we get in this, I could have used some sooner. I could have used more Gerard Butler.
Do you consider the plane stuff's action?
Not in the concept of, no, I don't. That's okay. It's more like a thrilling aspect than
thrilling action.
No, it's not action. I don't know.
Is action. A plane crash is action.
Okay,
but
you have a point. It feels more disaster though.
Greenland, yes. Plane crash, action.
Okay.
What's your favorite scene?
Favorite scene is whenever they're breaking them out.
So sledgehammers.
Yeah, from sledgehammers on, like whenever they finally get the plane up in the air. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So you like the second half of the film?
Yeah.
The last 30 minutes are good for you.
Yeah. The first half is honestly so pointless. You could have 15 minutes, you had them up in the air, plane crash, boom, and then we've had all that established.
Yeah.
It was too much to set up what's going on.
Gotcha. My favorite scene was definitely the airport scene because of all the Navy SEAL kind of people that do have the 50 cal just blowing people through.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
The strip.
And the sledgehammer scene also was fantastic, but I liked the very beginning with the plane crash. I love plane crash kind of stuff, so I thought that was really good. It was tense. What I didn't like was I didn't love Mike Coulter's runaway scene because it just felt too obvious.
His character, like, we didn't get enough development, which I don't know if it was like a late casting or like, I don't know. It just felt very thrown together. Yep,
it really did. And a lazy way to put it all together.
Yeah.
I didn't love his part of it. I didn't love how neat everything ended considering. It seemed like there'd be more stakes with all the pirates and stuff like that. But
you know the one thing I hated the most about this movie? It's one scene. It's whenever they're in the middle of all the fighting or whatever. They're trying to, the airport's basically, airlines basically trying to set up the rescue. They don't get it's like 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
It cuts to the daughter and she gets her phone out. She sets it and she fixes her shirt or something. Like she like, yeah, her yeah. daughter. Yeah. Like fixes her shirt or whatever to look cute. And she records a video that she sends to her dad. And she's like, basically like, hey, I love you and can't wait to see you, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's like that's it. It was pointless. Absolutely pointless. I didn't understand it. And you would think at the end, whenever Butler lands the plane and they're safe, he like has this moment in the plane. I would have thought he'd like look at his phone and see that video, whatever.
Yeah.
He calls her and it's stupid. Makes zero sense.
Yeah. It wasn't great. I agree with that part of it. All right. So now for the most fun part, which movie had the most insane plot? Between the Statham films and the Butler films this week.
Gamer
had the most insane plot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is the most insane. You could say Death Race.
Yeah. It's one of those two, but I actually think you're probably right.
Gamer's the same stakes, but like you have no control.
We're getting closer to that with Elon Musk Neuralink stuff.
Yeah.
But Death Race you could do tomorrow. So I agree. Craziest action sequence in any of the films.
I mean, it's probably got to be Gamer.
Which parts are
the action sequence has got to be the final fight. Like, it's just just
dang it, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, my favorite action sequence too with Michael C. Hall.
Yeah,
yep, fantastic. Which I didn't talk about that. That's what didn't work for me too. All of his tech workers all of a sudden just being like, "All right, I'm done. Bye."
Yeah,
we'll let you kill him. We're good. Like that seemed very abrupt and not earned.
Which again, if you had more character development to give example to why this dude is, you know, terrible, that might have made more sense.
But they didn't, nor did they have the budget to finish. It's kind of like Elf. Like he didn't finish the book, but he signed the pages because they didn't have they wanted to save some money.
Yeah.
Which film had the worst visual effects out of these four?
Gamer.
Agreed. Who had the worst villain?
Worst villain is probably Transporter.
Yeah, for me, it's either the Transporter or plane, just, you know, Filipino pirates. It just seems bland, but at least you had a face to it.
Yeah. The plane felt very real. Transporter, the villain in it, because we didn't really talk about it, like the villain in it was just, you know, they like tried to kill him, I guess, because he saw the package, but how did they know they saw the package?
Right.
It just didn't follow what was happening, but.
All right, for our favorite. If they swapped roles, who would do best, or could they swap roles? So could Gerard Butler do Death Race and Transporter, and could Statham do Gamer and Plane?
I actually think Statham could have done Butler's roles in this pretty well. I think Statham and Gamer would have worked.
So that's what I say. I think Statham and Plane would have worked.
Yeah.
I think Statham and Gamer is a little too weird for him.
I think Statham can do weird. We saw it in Crank.
This Crank is weird. When I think of Crank, I think more of like his animated sequence in Revolver more than to do anything weird from here.
Yeah. But,
I think that this is one of those rare weeks, though, that you could have both interchange. I think Butler could easily do Death Race.
I think for the question, though, I think you kind of have to reword it of like, who would I rather see swap places? And I think...
Yeah.
I think Statham in these movies, like, it's pretty well suited. Agreed. I couldn't see Gerard Butler as much. I could, because I think Butler's a good actor, but Statham, I would love to see Statham in a Gamer, and I could see him.
Like if he was the Terry Crews kind of guy?
No. I mean, probably in another life, yeah, probably would be casted for something like that. But I could see that.
So after another week, I have my list and Gerard Butler's running away with it. Who is your trash action star so far?
Right now it's been Gerard Butler. But I mean, this week
Statham got an edge from me.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see how he finishes.
Yep.
What do we got for next week then?
What did you say about Statham just now?
I said, we'll see. I don't remember exactly.
I do.
What?
He said, we're going to see how he finishes.
Yeah, finishes next week. So what's on the docket for next week then?
You just blow past all my sexual innuendos.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Wrath of Man, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
For Statham, and Safe for Jason Statham. For Gerard Butler, Den of Thieves, and Machine Gun Preacher.
Very excited.
I haven't seen Machine Gun Preacher, but I've heard, or Den of Thieves.
Yeah, I'm excited about Den of Thieves.
But everybody said that Machine Gun Preacher is actually one of Butler's best films, so I'm excited to watch that finally and give it a go. That brings us to our last point. The Oscars.
Yeah?
We got to lock in our prediction.
Are we talking about Oscars?
I mean, we probably should pick out a couple of the big ones to make sure we're fact-checked.
Okay, the big three.
Yeah, Best Picture, Best Actor and Actress, and Best Supporting Role.
Okay.
Yep. Let's see.
It's going to be Oppenheimer. It's going to be Murphy. It'll be female. It's going to be the trick, though. Because I think you've got a good shot. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm gonna lock mine in. Best Picture goes to Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Leading Actor goes to Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for the upset. I'm gonna say Emma Stone gets Best Actress.
I think it's gonna be Lily Gladstone.
It'll either be her or Lily Gladstone. Yeah. I still think it'll go to, it probably will go to Lily Gladstone, but I think, and it should go to Emma Stone.
I'm sure Dawson will be able to explain why we're wrong.
Yeah, probably. And then, so Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress. Yep. And I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Supporting Actor for sure. And Daveen, Joey Thompson, whatever, is going to win Supporting Actress for the holdovers from
Famous.
I think those are all pretty much locks. I think there's more locks this year than I've seen previous years, but we'll see.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a fun night.
Yep,
can't wait.
So this has been another episode of Mostly Film, your one-stop chaotic shop for all things in the world of cinema. I've been one of your hosts, Jonathan McWhorter, joined by your beautiful co-host, JP Payton.
See ya.
See y'all next week. This is with Dawson.